Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 472, Avengers Endgame.
I mean, we did it.
Well, we didn't do anything.
I guess that's true.
We saw a movie.
Like, it was a long movie.
Okay, but yeah. We've seen long movies before. That's
not this long.
No, there's lots of movies that are this. Have you never seen The Godfather?
I mean, on
Lord
the
of
show,
the Rings
that we've had to cover.
There's the Snyder Cut of all those movies.
Oh, Jesus, so. Let's not go there. Well, before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Are we doing our guests first?
Or yeah,
we're
gonna. Excellent. Yeah,
I'm Blake.
Wait, what?
Who?
Blake, that's my trickier.
I just got
sounded like you
I
said,
got unsnapped.
We've got a weird connection. Okay, so Blake.
Also, the 50%, two of them left and three of us. So, like, it wasn't exactly.
Yeah.
It's like
it was
the,
close.
It's like the Missouri Compromise.
I'm now also much younger than you because
yeah. That's true. Yeah. I feel much older. So
we will continue our rounds around the table.
This is Dan, also much younger.
What? What?
Did I hear it correctly?
Dan?
Speak
Dan?
Up over there, you young man in the back.
There it is!
Oh, that's how we know,
now
he's,
we know.
He's the real
Although
Dan.
I don't think I should have to use this for today.
We'll surprise you.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, God. Be swinging it around like Mjolnir. And
this well, is that's not the only thing going to be swinging around.
And there it is.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Tom. That the maracas are like Thor's hammer. You can only pick it up if you're worthy.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't had one.
Yeah. That's why they've been sitting dormant for
yeah,
the last...
Yeah, because we've certainly given them things to rattle about.
So dusty.
But quick shameless plugs before we dive in. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it if you do. And, of course, at Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week: Richard Lawson, Susan Carlson, Timmy Two Zunes, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Fox Smith, Travis Tewitt, Dylan A. Lang, Tammy Sherman Powers, and Gabriel Lugo picked the right
what
week.
What a great day for Dan to be back.
Oh, man. Hey, Hugo Lugo. Welcome to the show.
Hey, there we go. Oh,
hey,
nice, wow. Nice.
Now, a little hiatus.
Do you have that list that we've been saving?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a list of 17 more.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well, that's going to be sung to the tune of End of the World as We Know It. Just a bunch of names really fast.
That sounds delightful. Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Magic Man, Ron Johnson, Jason Weezy, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Ralph Tribble. So thank you very much for sharing the show. We really do appreciate it. So anyway, there's all of that. You don't want to hear any more of it. Let's dig into Avengers Endgame, because obviously it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, go. I mean, you know, we trimmed it down for Captain Marvel just because we knew that this was going to happen. So yeah, it's interesting. Like this, we're 12 years in, 22 movies.
Well, about 11 years in.
It was 2007, right?
2008.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's
oh, man. I guess I always thought 2007
Iron Man
was.
Premiered in May, so we're just short of 11 years.
So, and this is unprecedented. I don't think And nobody has done this before, and people who have tried to do it after have failed miserably.
Yeah.
Every single one of this combined universe has just flopped.
It's easy to just kind of write it off because it's a popular franchise.
Sure.
But honestly, it's a stunning cinematic achievement.
Without question.
It's never been done. I mean, Bond has 25 films, but each one stands
over
on its own.
How many years?
Well, and, yeah. I don't even,
and they have one character.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean in terms of quantity, although that's impressive. But
no, it's the story.
But yeah. the fact that they did it in such a compressed time and that they're all interlocking stories because Bond isn't.
No. Right. And they sort of. But not like this.
But
not
no, but
like
you can
this.
Watch each yeah. one you can watch on your own. Like, I haven't even seen all the Bond movies.
I don't think
you
can't really watch the last ones, though. Like, the last ones are the ones that are kind of interconnected. If you want to go, like, pre-Daniel Craig. Yeah.
They more or less, more, I mean, honestly, for proper Bond, like, they interconnect by the actor.
Right.
And there's some stuff that kind of transitions over. But overall, it's like you could just, like, binge Sean
you would
Connery
never
feel
like you need
more.
Another one yeah. to watch, you know, right. Goldfinger.
You would never watch that and go, oh my God, I'm lost. But yeah. when you watch the 22nd film in a franchise, you might want to know what's going
that's
on.
Honestly, one of the things that makes Marvel so appealing is that you can kind of jump into any one of their movies, too, and still enjoy it.
I don't think you could
but
jump into, like,
the 22nd.
Like,
maybe
the
not the direct
ones?
Sequels.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
But, like, so if you want to watch Captain Marvel and you've never watched another Marvel movie,
you're going to be fine.
You're totally fine.
Which is exactly how a comic book works.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know? And that's the thing is, like, comic books are never going to end. Right? Like, they'll throw Captain America in a different dimension and you'll have somebody else wear the shield, but Steve Rogers is coming back. These movies have a definitive end because these actors are getting too old. So, like, there is an ending.
But they're not so old yet that they couldn't keep this going if they wanted to.
But at some point.
What
do we say? 11 years into this thing and Robert Downey Jr. looks significantly older than he did in Iron Man.
And he's significantly more expensive is the problem. Like, you knew at some point that these characters are going to
have. I think when their opening weekend, they'll be able to afford it.
They could figure it out.
No, absolutely. But still, I mean, when it comes to, you know, what his cameo in Spider-Man was like a $12 million paycheck for, I mean, you know, I say cameo. I mean, it's a 5-10 minutes of scenes total. But,
sure.
But when you get $12 million for that, and then you know he's probably going to make $50 million up front on this and then whatever on the back end. I mean, at some point they have to start stripping these because, you know, Chris Evans will renew for that plus and he'll renew for that. And
Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth are the two that still look the same.
Sure.
Like Downey Jr. is, you know, his hair
is probably one of the youngest out of all of them.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Downey's just older.
I think he might be the youngest of the original.
Okay.
I know Scarlett Johansson's right around that same age, too, but
I think he's
only early mid-30s.
I don't think we'd worry about Scarlett Johansson at this point.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a problem.
I think what's really neat about this is that, like Blake said, you can jump into most any Marvel movie and you can enjoy them. And sure, you're going to miss little callbacks and Easter eggs, but you can still enjoy the movie. But what I think is really neat about this is this movie, I believe, was made for the fans. This was an 11-year payoff where they reference every single movie. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy it, but if you haven't seen like any Marvel movies and you jump into
this, a lot of the,
you're not going to feel
are gonna
the payoffs
happen.
Aren't going to work, right? So, but like, this isn't for the casual viewer.
This would make no sense.
Yeah, this is a love letter to the fans who have committed. You know,
I think these last two Avenger movies are the first that I've really been like, if you haven't seen anything yet,
don't bother.
Yeah, like you need
to
go to the
other. Emotional beats aren't going
to
be there.
Yeah,
I said that a buddy had. He's like, oh, I think I'm going to go see it, but I've seen Cap 1 and Iron Man 2, and I was like, look, dude,
no.
Like you. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Why are you friends with this person?
He's just one of those weird guys that, you know, doesn't pay attention to, like, the things
your
that are popular.
Your friend with weird guys?
Weird guys, I know. Yeah. But, like, I was like, you got to start at Iron Man. And he was like, well, like, the first one? I was like, yeah. Yeah. You got 22 movies you got to get through before you can get to this.
But it's not even like, I think if you watch Infinity War and Endgame, you can still enjoy the action and stuff, but you're doing yourself the disservice. You're not going
right.
to.
It's almost
fully
like the comic reader that isn't reading the other books.
Yeah.
Like you're reading the main.
Right.
You're reading the main miniseries, but you have no clue what's going on.
Yeah. You're going to miss like when Rubberman Man comes on in Infinity War. You're not going to really get why that's significant.
Right.
Like, why like that soundtrack works.
Or the music cues. You're like, we're going to space. Like,
yeah.
That's what we're
like,
doing
it does, like as soon as you hear that in Infinity War, you know what's going to happen.
Even in this one, they do it in this one too.
Yeah.
we go to the snap, first of all. We see Clint and his family.
This cold open was ballsy.
You know,
yeah, it was awesome.
You know who his daughter is?
No.
It's Joe Russo's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So a lot of those...
Were those
characters.
Kids that met the Hulk someone's kids, too? Because two boys looked identical.
One of them, or at least one of them, was another one of Joe Russo's.
I'm guessing, because those two boys, I saw their facial structure.
Also,
I bet they're their
kids.
He's
also in one of the other movies, too. I can't remember which one, though.
Okay.
I'm like, they didn't just throw some random kids in there. Those are their kids.
Yeah. So, and we kind of knew what was going to happen.
Oh, I remember
Clint.
The other one he's in. He's in End of Winter Soldier. He's the little boy who looks up at Cap at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And that's, I mean, I'm cool with that. You know, it's like those are cameos that are just like, yeah, that's fine.
No one knows, and it's not.
It's not like the 6 or 7 community cameos that we had in this one,
which were fine. They didn't even make Ken Jeong talk,
which I appreciate.
Yeah,
yeah.
It wasn't played up for laughs. It was just like, hey.
So the only ones they left out were Joe McHale and the girl and Chevy Chase.
And they would have been distracting.
Yeah, those are the three that I was like, I guess you can't have them in the movie at all. Because like, what's Joe McHale?
They would have been. It would have been.
Ken Jeong was just like with the glasses, the hat, the mustache, like, and without talking, it wasn't that distracting. But obviously, like for us, we all knew it was him, and it was gave us a chuckle. But
and then
he's gone.
You met Nicole Brown. So Clint is having lunch with his family. He's who I thought his. I thought they were going to call his daughter Kate, and they don't because in the comics, Kate Bishop becomes Hawkeye. And I was like, okay.
No,
so
I think
they're
saving her because for his Disney Plus series.
So that's a thing.
He's
right?
supposed to be training up Kate Bishop.
Okay,
in that series.
All right. So they're kind
I wish it was a Ronin.
Oh my gosh! After seeing this movie,
I am shocked that worked as well as it did.
Yeah. What made it work for me is it looks like you're like the cinematic scale of it changes and like everything about it is different. It looks like you're coming at the tail end. At the climax of a movie
of his story,
and you just missed a whole bunch of other stuff, and it just works.
And that's the thing about when they change that character is he's not just doing it because he's mad. You know, like he says, he's like, the good people are gone, and you are a scumbag, and you are still here. He's almost the Punisher,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like that's almost the same like mindset of the Punisher.
But
he's a ninja.
With this scene, though, I mean, by opening a movie like this, a cold open, and with someone losing their entire family, I mean, people in the theater were crying.
Oh, there's
minutes into a movie. Like, this was an insane.
I didn't hear it in this one, but the second screening, when he turns around and he goes back to get his daughter, I heard one woman go, and
well,
then,
like, you feel
like
that,
oh, no.
You feel that empty feeling at the end of Infinity War when everybody starts to disappear, and it was really smart to have this happen so you
remember
you pick that back up and you're like, oh crap, and like to see it as a character that you know you've seen for 11 or 10 years and you've been emotionally invested.
I think he's 50% is the loose. I mean, obviously it wasn't 50% for him.
Absolutely,
right? But that's the thing, it's all random, like, so it's 50% of humanity,
right?
He's one of his five family members,
right?
That, you know,
that's the thing, is the tone of this movie coming out of Infinity War, I expect it to be similar.
Sure.
Like, kind of dark, and not dark, but like dour and
bleak.
Down and
this
bleak.
Opening is very art house.
It's very art house.
Yeah,
like it's a huge sweeping scene.
And the first hour of this movie, I think, is borderline art house. I mean, there are certainly action beats, but they go and...
Oh, I guess they take care of the thing, yeah.
But yeah, like, I was really surprised at, like, how long they let you wallow in that grief. You know what I mean?
With only three characters.
Yeah. Which is why it works.
Right.
You know, like it isn't just like, oh, a really bad thing happened and now we're going to go save the day. Like they don't let it become that, even though they do end up saving the day.
Right.
Like they really double down.
You wait years.
Yeah. And they double down on the emotional stakes. And even when they save the day, like you said, it's been years to where you're still like, but what does that mean? What does that look like now that half the world is kind of out of phase with time?
Did you guys have an audible gasp in your theater when the 5 years later came
out?
Yeah.
Well, you had about 3 minutes to get that
there
gasp.
There was also,
but,
you know,
I think a lesser movie, to Tom's point, it's like a lesser movie would have, you know, probably trimmed all of this front end of
absolutely.
All the drama.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And to get to the action.
Well, that's what I was amazed at.
So
I cannot believe.
Like a good 30, 40 minutes.
No, it's an hour.
Just like, oh.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, they live with it for an hour. So this one thing that's really neat, the second time I saw it, I looked at my phone to tell the time, and it was almost exactly an hour until they do their time travel plan.
Okay.
And then the next
time heist.
Well, it was a time travel plan, and then that got but and then the next hour is the time heist.
Yeah,
and then the last 45 minutes is basically one huge battle.
It's nonstop.
Like, but they break it up into seriously almost 1 hour, 1 hour, 45 minutes.
It's a miniseries.
Yeah.
Like it's that's exactly...
You're binge watching.
Well, no, I mean, like, it's like a comic book miniseries where, like, the one going on right now is War of the Realms, which is a big Thor, you know, crossover event. But it's like a 6-issue thing, but then they've got offshoots where it's like other heroes are doing different things. And that's what this is. And I think it's the first time they successfully have been able to capture that feel of, like, here's your main book, but then we've got these little miniseries as well that you can pick up. You can pick them up if you want to. And when you're here in the theater, you're going to
you don't have much of a choice.
But yeah, so Clint loses his family, and it was again audible gasps when they are gone, and Clint's freaking out because we're told in Infinity War that Scott and Clint have both taken the buyout for the Sokovia Accords, and they're just like, look, I got a family, I'm out.
House arrest.
Yeah, so he's got the little ankle bracelet on, and then we get a nice little musical cue, and we know we're going back to space. And we see Tony and Nebula, which is just like, God, I forgot they were in space.
I did too, because everyone else disappeared around them when they fought Thanos. But I did too. I'm like, wait, he's with Nebula and just Nebula? Like, yeah, I had watched it right before.
Yeah.
So
he lost his muscle mass real quick.
Do you think that was computer?
Yes, I did.
Skinny. Okay, yes. But I mean, it looked good. I'm like, it looks really thin.
But that's an astronaut thing, though, right? Like, when astronauts are up in space for that long, don't they lose?
Well, it was 21 days. It's not like they're eating a feast, but anyway.
But I know, yeah, but isn't that gravity, kind of... but they have artificial gravity on these.
I guess that's true.
21 days of anyone trying to live. Right, I mean, he says it's been 21 days. They're rationing like as best they can.
And I do like the little subtle nod that Nebula doesn't need to eat.
Yeah, she just gives them back the
package of whatever
it
that
shows
was.
How far she's grown as a character, too, that she has some
and
type
I'm
of
I'm
really empathy.
Glad they didn't turn her.
Yeah.
And they did sort of. Like, you kind of get a turn for Nebula, but it's a different Nebula.
I think it would have been cheap if they had turned her after they'd done all that emotional growth.
Yeah.
Were you guys surprised that Nebula was, like, a main character in this movie? Like, she is one of the... I mean, aside from our six,
it's
like,
interesting that they chose her, considering they had Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana, and, like, so they could have used those characters, but to pick Nebula, who was a bit part in the first Guardians. She had a much bigger role in the second one, and now in this one, she's front and center.
But back to comic books, that's how they do it.
You have the Avengers team, but sometimes, like your core team, but sometimes they throw in Moondragon.
But they'll pick the character that fits.
Yeah.
Not necessarily always the big name.
Right.
And it's in relation to Thanos. I mean, think about it. No one has experienced more torment for longer, you know, pre the snap than Nebula. I mean, she's grown up being abused and replaced with parts and this and that. And you see it here. And so I think that's another emotional beat that you're like, wow, this is this character I used to hate in Guardians.
Yeah, right.
And now I feel so bad for her.
It's I have plenty of Avengers comics where Jack of Hearts is front and center for no apparent, for no apparent reason. So Tony kind of records a message on whatever's left of his helmet. Honestly, at this point, there are so many double, triple, quadruple fakes throughout this movie. I was like, good Lord, are they going to kill him right from the jump?
And I seriously thought they were, but maybe bring him back somehow.
Right,
I'm like, oh my God, are they really?
And he kind of,
Katie goes, no.
The way they set that up is like the way Nebula reacts when she kind of picks him up and puts him down. Like, he doesn't really respond. And then as he's sitting there, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter.
It's a good scene, the way they just focus on his face.
I appreciate that they didn't hammer home Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Like, they didn't abuse.
She's in this movie for 5-10 minutes.
She
tops.
Appeared in this movie twice. I forgot about her. I
was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She gets
the Thor entrance.
Well, and I think that's why they want you to, right? And so, for one, it would have cheapened the experience. I mean, this is tribute to, you know, 10 years of the original six characters. If they would have brought her in, just punched Thanos in the face, and then, you know, now there's a different threat or something, no, that'd be stupid. But the way they used her was great, and I appreciated her in this movie, I think, more, and now we know why there was a Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
For the story-wise, like, now we get why they had to introduce her, because she plays two epic parts for the small time she's
but
in.
But I also like the fact that she's not just a deus ex machina that they bring in to win the day. Like, she certainly helps, but she plays a role. It's not hinging on what she did.
So doesn't this kind of screw up her entrance in that post-credit sequence?
No, because something I read was that we could assume that happened before her finding Tony.
Tony.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. I guess she could have gone.
Yeah, they probably told her Tony's missing.
Yeah, we're missing Tony.
She went to find him. Like, okay. That wasn't. She didn't.
That was
like,
her introduction.
She wasn't,
yeah.
Yeah, her, she wasn't flying by like, hey, just what's that ship?
That's what I was going to say. Why would she even be looking for Tony? I mean, out of all the people
I
in
guess
the
that makes sense.
The galaxy,
that makes a lot of sense.
I did like the line where they basically ask her, like, we could have used you this entire time. Where have you been? And she's yeah. like, well, you guys, the Earth has you guys.
Right.
You
know?
There is such
so
good
that,
writing in this
that,
movie.
That, like, solves the problem of, like, why the hell isn't she there yeah, to yeah. save the day? Because she's so OP, you
yeah.
know? Like, she's just crazy overpowered.
She said, I like the line where she's like, I guess they say, her line is like, look, you think this is this happened everywhere.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm basically the Green Lantern of this little thing right now, mm-hmm. and I've got an entire universe I have to take care of. Like, you guys are here. Mm-hmm. You can handle this. I got millions of planets that are dealing with the same stuff.
I mean Cap and Rhodey are both like, oh, like, you know, it's cool, like, you see in their faces
yeah.
they're like, yeah, well, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
can we just say that Chris Evans is the new Christopher Reeve for this generation? Like, he's this generation's Superman.
I guess I
don't know how you make
it's hard to make that one-to-one analysis, especially because Superman wasn't part of a team,
I guess, that yeah
you know
yeah.
where you have so many
I feel like the way that Chris Evans has played him from the first time we saw him till now, like, just the, you are immediately like, yeah, dude, I'll follow you.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Who are we fighting? Let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm totally
both
with
the
you.
Boy Scouts. I mean, they're, yeah. it's the, yeah, very similar.
So I just think he, man.
I'd say
like
that Chris
this,
Evans
is,
that we saw, I mean, if you look at Chris Evans post Fantastic Four.
Sure.
You would have been like, yeah, that guy, he was good in a couple things. Yeah. But then, like, the Chris Evans post this, like, I think he's definitely kind of taken up a little bit of a responsibility as trying to be more of a socially
active,
pronounced
sure.
active person.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
He,
so, I mean, I think in a way, it's like he's definitely forayed his role into, you know.
Right.
Like, I think he sees a little bit of a responsibility, which is maybe speaks to his character a little bit.
I think that's
And
true.
I like how he has so much money now that he doesn't even know what to do with. Like, he can do smaller art house stuff. Like, yeah. Chris Evans
like
doesn't just...
Like Snowpiercer.
Right. He doesn't just go for the big blockbuster.
Yeah,
right.
He wants to write and direct.
And direct, yeah. yeah. So, like, I appreciate that because he's good, and
yeah.
it's great that we're going to get to see his talents, not just in blockbuster movie of the year,
right?
Right.
Like, right. It'd be kind of cool to be like, this is all he's going to act in now. You know, he's like, nah, I'll do that one Captain America movie, get that paycheck, then I'll go make my three little movies and then come back. And
well, yeah, let's come back to this because
yeah.
even with the ending, there's still ways around
oh,
it. So.
There's
yeah.
all
oh, yeah.
kinds
well,
of remember, you can push time through people.
Well, that's
right.
exactly what I was yeah, getting
they,
yeah, to. But yeah, so we'll get there. But can we talk about Robert Downey Jr.'s performance in this scene?
Holy cow. Seeing his name get tossed around as, like, I guess he, it's hard to say who would be, whose movie this is. Because everybody is given...
It's a testament to it.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
like,
right?
it's not an Iron Man movie. It's not a Captain America. It's not a Hulk movie. So, like, it's the first time I can remember thinking, if you were to nominate somebody for Best Actor...
Well, it'd be
could,
Robert Downey Jr.
That's
yeah.
the only one I can
I'm
say.
Sure it's in his contract.
His performance.
For your consideration. Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw the movie, it's like, wow, that was great, but I'm like, this is crazy, and everyone's mad, and blah, blah, blah. The second time when I really watched his performance,
yeah.
it's like, holy crap.
This movie really works because they've put really good actors yeah. in these roles. I mean, mm-hmm. actors that can do other things
right.
that are... kind of slumming it in a superhero movie.
C-level yeah. actors who became megastars.
No, I mean, I'm saying that they're A-level actors. I mean, they maybe weren't A-list stars.
That's
right.
But they started.
From a skill standpoint,
sure, sure,
they yeah. put good actors in these roles. Because even at the end, like, and as much as she irritates the crap out of me, Gwyneth Paltrow... And
kills
her
it.
Scene at the end,
oh my God.
Crushes.
She's
it.
Crazy yeah. in real life, but in this movie, it's like wow.
She and up till now, like she's really had nothing to do and brought nothing to.
I liked her as like his conscience in
yeah.
the first movie, but
yeah,
after
but
that
I,
first one, she hasn't really had anything else to do.
Right, and but like it was all worth it.
Yeah,
it's almost like this is really like going onto the other end of the cinematic spectrum, but it's almost like Michelle Williams in.
Yeah,
By the Sea. But yeah.
Manchester by the Sea.
Manchester by
yeah.
the Sea. All I could
yeah.
think of was Stratford upon Avon. But Manchester by the Sea, where you're the whole movie, you're like, why did you put this actress in this role and give her nothing to do? And then she's like, oh, here's 45 seconds where I earn my paycheck. And you're just like, okay, fair enough. You win.
But speaking to that, though, so the other things you catch on multiple viewings is once you know the story, you know what's going to happen, you're not surprised by that stuff. When you watch their body language and the way they emote.
They do.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, from Scarlett Johansson when she's talking to Cap in the later scene here, coming up in a little bit, when you talk about even Scarlet Witch at the end, talking to Clint, and you watch her eyes and the way she looks off in the distance, like there's little things that a lesser actor wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And a lot of this comic book stuff, I mean, as much as we love comics, would sound silly on screen. Actors say it, it is
this
amazing.
This is the only trip into Wrestling Corner I will make for the rest of the show.
Oh,
it's real quick.
Did you guys miss this?
No, it's real fast. So
How?
It's about like showing that emotion and delivering that message with just your face, right?
Yeah.
So there was one match.
Oh, there's more.
No, that's it. Bret Hart gets taken down by an arm drag. Not a big deal. But when he sits up, the camera's on his face, and he makes one little facial tick, and you're just like, okay, I get it. Like, I get what we're trying to say here is this kid's not that good. But
yeah,
you were Michaels, surprised.
Actually, genius.
Bret Hart.
Bret
Michaels.
Whatever.
Who was he facing?
The 1-2-3 kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, X-Pac.
Yes. So anyway.
Thanks, Gus, for that, if you're listening. Yeah.
Our characters are back at Avengers Tower, I guess. Or
it's like
the
they're
compound. Head,
yeah, they're compound.
Yeah.
Is it radioactive?
No. So, and unfortunately,
well, not until the end of the movie.
We lose bearded Cap. Like, he shaves the belt. I was like, dang.
Seriously? Like, there were audible disappointments in the theater.
Well,
one of them being Katie.
If they're disappointed in the physical appearance of Captain America, I got bad news for him.
Super bad news.
When the person's shaving, though, and you probably think it's Tony at first, because he's looking scruffy, and it's Cap. Seriously, Katie goes, oh. I'm like,
he was smart enough to know that the helmet and the beard were going to look dumb.
Yeah.
No, that was
He's like, that's
awesome.
Not going to work.
No, it looks so good. So
anyway.
BA.
He knew.
They're sitting around and they're all kind of sullen. Like they've lost. They've lost everything, basically. All of their friends, I guess Widow doesn't know where Hawkeye is, and that's kind of her. But in this moment, we don't know where she doesn't, her entire family, with the exception of the people who were there, are gone.
Yeah.
Cap has lost everything. And not only has Cap lost the love of his life, which is interesting, they in Winter Soldier they tease the Sharon Carter relationship, and that is completely thrown away.
Well, he's not going to say anything.
Yeah, right.
What? No, I wasn't seeing anybody in the future.
I wasn't seeing your
future
niece
me just was
at all.
Celibate,
but man, but it always had to be. And the payoff at the end.
Yeah,
the fact that they
kept Haley Atwell active in all of this stuff. Like, she had her Agent Carter TV show. She's going to be on the animated What If show. Like,
think about this. They never say who her husband is, and every picture they show of her and her family, her husband is never in the picture.
So you
think they planned? You think they knew?
I think they were trying to figure out a way.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't going to be the ultimate payoff always, but I think that they were trying to find a way there.
That's
smart.
I had been saying for a long time, I'm like, my wish fulfillment is that they just figure out a way to get that guy back home.
So, okay, so if they get him back home.
I mean, there's a reason why they continue to bring her back. It's not just
because
he's lovable.
Right.
Like,
right.
They could have done that in many different ways.
Yeah, they kept her, top of mind.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the repercussions later. Let's get into the plot
so,
if we have time.
So the Captain Marvel kind of drops off the Milano.
Benatar.
No, this is still the Milano.
This is still the
Milano. The Benatar is coming.
You're right.
Lost a trivia question because of that. I forgot that it was called the Benatar, and I was like, I don't know, the Kapowski? I have no idea. Tony comes off the ship. He's immediately greeted by Cap, and I do like their interaction. It goes right back to the first and second Avengers, where it's just like, we lost. He's like, yeah, man.
We lost.
Yeah.
Great writing.
Like their interaction, all the animosity is gone from Civil War.
For a moment,
correct. Yeah. But in that one brief moment, you're like, okay, these guys are on the same page.
Yes.
And here comes Pepper, and Pepper shows back up, and they embrace. And it's like, it's one of those, it's almost like when people are coming back from being in war.
and these, you know, they see their loved ones for the first time, and it's this whole scene is a gut punch.
Is she preggers already at that point?
I think we know. Yeah. I believe we already know she's pregnant.
So they hint around
at the end of Infinity War.
The baby didn't get snapped then.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Or did, and they had another one.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is where Robert Downey Jr. has his big throwdown with Cap, and
That would be an awkward 5 minutes later.
That would be a very awkward 5 minutes later. Cap kind of says, he's like, what's next? And Tony's like, there is no next. We've lost. And he's like, that's not who we are. And he was like, that's who we were. We are the Avengers, not the pre-Vengers. And he talks about the suit of armor around the world, and it's like going
which is
back
Ultron
to
Ultron and
right
and
going back to everything. And
Cap
it's also
says
like
that didn't work out.
Yeah. Tony, you may not want to talk about the giant murder death machine that you created on accident.
But it's a great scene, and he ends up handing the what is that thing called the
it's the
little snap on.
It was the Warren Ellis extremis.
Extremis.
He ends up handing it to Cap, and
which is like that's another good twist because we know at the end of Iron Man 3 he takes the heart out,
right.
And we see him in a suit, but they never explain how he still has that thing on his chest. And this is the first time they explain. They're like, "Oh, it's just a clip on."
Yeah, he referenced it in Infinity War too. And
well,
he, like,
she says then you'd get rid of this.
Yeah,
but then
he's a little bit of an addict.
But we're just like, well, he is an addict.
Yes, but I mean, and this is like his inability to stop making suits, even after the House Party Protocol,
right.
You know, because he's like,
they use the right amount of
the suits, all the suits, and then you're like, but then we learn that he just kept going.
Of course.
Well, we know at Iron Man, at the end of Iron Man 3, we know that Pepper is infected with the Extremis. Mm-hmm. We know that, it's Tony's idea. It was his, the liquid suit. So, but like the fact that they give you an answer to like, oh, this is how he's always going to be Iron Man is it's not in him. It's just this little piece of tech that he keeps on
about all
the time.
We all figured it was just a removable thing because it was.
But for the people, it was probably
really good, strong industrial glue. It looked like it kind of hurt.
It was Gorilla Glue.
Yeah, you know,
I figured it was like a magnetic locking attachment. It must have been something that.
Somebody just put online like the concepts, like the drawings and the concepts, and it looks like at one point it was going to be this big, like chest piece. And they just.
This is good.
Down to one little piece,
and it opens up into his suit. It's the new way that he gets his armor on.
Right.
So, okay.
So Nebula and Rocket are just like, I know exactly where he is.
Yeah.
So they look at like this little, Rocket, who I love in this movie.
He's great.
Like, he is.
I love that they gave him his comic book costume, too.
Yes. Yeah. This is the original Guardians costume. This is what they used to look like. Was the blue and the red and the
I have a
scarf.
Really cool print with him in that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
That was good stuff. I'm sure Brad Walker, who was the artist on that, was like, thank you very much.
So he shows a power surge, the same thing that happened when the snapping happened on a different planet.
So they were able to
track that and find out where his garden retirement home is.
Yeah, yeah. I do like where everybody's just like, how did he, what, why, he retired? Well, great.
Yeah.
This version of Thor, I was like, this is the one that I like. Ragnarok is great. Like, that's a fantastic movie. But this angry Thor is the one that I wanted in this movie.
Had a little bit of a misstep.
So they go, they suit up, they hop on the Milano, they take off, and then they confront Thanos, and Thanos is kind of a broken man. Like, there's nothing, his the half of his body that was burnt up the first time he did the snap is even worse now. He's kind of limping along.
He's making stew
and like
his work is done. He's
resting. Sign of a broken man.
Just eating stew.
But he said when it was all over, he was going to rest and watch the sunrise.
Did.
I mean, so he figures that this was his last conquest. He's done. You know, he's not, doesn't know what to anticipate, but he's not, there's no more fight left in him.
Right. So the event, Captain Marvel comes in and beats the bejesus out of him.
It was a cool scene showing how strong she is. And then I also really like this head fake because once Thor chops his head off, you're like, what?
Like, even Rocket's like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
What are you doing? He's like, I went for the head.
Because
and
there
then
were,
like, walks away.
There were so many theories of how are they going to reverse this?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? And when in the first 15 minutes of the movie, you lose not only the Infinity Stones, but Thanos, you're like, what is this movie about?
Now where do we go?
And then we get the 5 years later, and it's like, that's what in this first hour, it's all the repercussions of the snap. And I would have never imagined in a million years that's how this movie would.
I didn't see that 5-year time jump. I didn't even consider that. I was like,
In the trailer, they show Nat with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
And then you see another shot of her with like the the red hair grown out with the blonde underneath. And I was like, well, we have to have
a
time jump.
There's some
somewhere.
Passage of time, but I didn't think it was like a 5-year leap. I was like, ugh.
That's why I'm glad
especially,
I don't watch trailers.
Especially 5 years without anyone, without them resurrecting the dead.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all.
It shows that, again, there are real repercussions of what happened, which, I mean, you think, okay, comic book movie, Infinity War, okay, yeah, half of them disappear, but you know they're coming back.
Right.
But when you watch the first 15 minutes of this movie, you're like, well, what are they going to do? It's
there's a lot of new couples that got a lot of explaining to do.
And here's the thing is they hold off on bringing anybody back until the last 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Like the whole time you're like, this is a dire situation.
We're just going to roll with these original six and some sprinkled in some new guys.
Which is great. Which is a comic book. The movie is an homage to itself.
Yeah.
But it's never navel-gazing.
No.
I don't think. It's earned the right to be an homage
to
itself.
Oh, yeah. They put in this much work.
Yeah.
So we jump 5 years
later.
Why
don't we talk about where each of the six are?
Yeah, so Cap is leading a
support group.
Which Joe Russo is
Joe Russo. And I know this got a little weird online, but I felt like it was... I don't understand.
People took it as disingenuine.
Which is dumb.
But
I don't feel that way at all. I feel
damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I felt like, in a way, he was also kind of honoring Sam, because that's what Sam did. You know?
Right.
Well, he was kind of like the gay character. Oh, the gay character?
Yeah, where it's just like
people online are like, "Well, you were touting this up and
one
now
of the things online is so both him and Anthony, his brother, did the snapping online and Anthony didn't survive and Joe did, which is why Joe's in the movie and Anthony isn't.
Oh, interesting.
That's cool.
That's pretty good.
There's some stuff to signify that in that scene.
Okay. And Jim Starlin, the creator of Thanos, is also in this scene.
Yeah.
He's the guy that asks the other question. But to me, this is when Joe Russo's character kind of says, like, we went on a date and it was really good. And I'm gonna see him again. And Cap doesn't bat an eye. And he's just like, that's great. Like, you would think that a guy who was born and raised in 1945...
Yeah, which he wasn't born in 45. He was born in 20.
He puts on his MAGA hat and he says, not here.
I know, like that. You would think that kind of guy would
Strangely enough, there were gay people back then.
There were, but for... You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He doesn't care. He's all about the hope and things like that. So they kind of go back and forth and he gives this really great speech where he's just like, it's up to us, man. Like, we're it. We just have to keep pushing on.
If we don't do anything, then he may as well have just erased 100% of us.
All of us.
So Black Widow is running, like, her own little squad.
She's the new Fury for now.
So she's got Rhodey's out there, Captain Marvel's police in the universe, Rocket and Nebula are kind of working closely together, and they're out there policing. This is where Rhodey, and I liked it, I caught on the second time, Captain Marvel's like, good luck to him, because she knows what he has to tell her, and so she ends up saying that Clint is running around as Ronan that we know, and he's murdering all criminals.
Yeah.
And so he talks about this gang has been murdered, and she's like, oh, probably a rival gang. And he's like yeah, no, this is
it's one
Clint.
Guy.
And she says, find him, please.
Clint is the second Ronan.
Okay.
There, Echo, who was a Kevin Smith creation. She was in Daredevil was the first Ronan. And then Clint did it. Oh, maybe it was reversed. Either way, there's been two Ronins. One was a girl. One was Hawkeye.
So really nice scene here because, she's in tears. And again, the acting talents of Scarlett Johansson. And
which we knew
This was her time.
This was amazing. Yeah. This was her.
She's never had a reason to deliver that hardcore of a scene. That was weird. That's not what I meant.
We gotcha.
But that Black Widow character has never had to stretch those acting chops.
Yeah.
The thing is, this movie, almost every single actor, I think, is just acting so much truth. I never go, oh, that's whoever acting is whoever. I'm like, except for Mark Ruffalo, I'm like, that's Mark Ruffalo. But the other ones,
have much of a choice.
The other ones, though, I'm like, oh my God, these people are these characters. They've been with them. They understand them. But her and Cap, another really nice conversation here. And then here comes Ant-Man, because what we skipped over was, if it weren't, the rat is the real hero. This rat saves the
14 million instances, and maybe that's the only one where the rat does that. But then there's some other things, by the way, in that 14 million. So in that 14 million thing, he saw that Fortnite was still popular 5 years later.
Sure.
He saw a drunken, fat Thor. He saw all this stuff, and like, he's like,
this
that's
is
the
one,
one,
right? But it was hilarious. A lot of people online said, that should have been a mouse that rescued.
Pretty good.
But anyway, so the rat turns the thing on. He comes back, and then heart-wrenching scene with him looking on the wall. And then what's great, too, is, see, this is the opposite of lazy exposition. By him seeing his name on the wall, it shows time's passed. He's just disappeared and came back.
Right.
No time has passed.
What did he say? He's been gone for five hours.
Yeah, but his name's engraved on a stone memorial. Sure. He's like, what? And I love that. That shows you in his character the passage of time.
But Cassie's way too old.
No.
So how old is she at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
11.
You're probably thinking from the first movie.
She's older
in the second one.
You're right.
Five.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah, it's 2023, so.
Okay, yeah. When she walks up to the door, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I feel like we've jumped too far. Again,
she's like 16.
And so, yeah, so Scott kind of, he does not see Cassie's name. He does not, I guess we don't really, I guess his wife's different name. Yeah.
So, but so, he sees
but Cassie, his name. Cassie's not there.
Yeah, and he goes to the house, and this is another tearjerker. Like, yeah. I mean, what a great moment.
And I do like that they keep.
It's not as sad as you might think if you realized you didn't have to deal with a teenage girl. Right? You missed 12 to 16. I'll take that effing deal.
Blake and I are on the cusp.
Yeah.
Like, ours is quickly approaching.
You check back in 10 years and you'll be like, yeah.
Can I?
Ant-Man is the luckiest
man. Can I go to the quantum realm for 5 hours?
We should talk. This is a good moment to talk about Alan Silvestri and his score for this entire movie.
Mm. I hated the score in Avengers 1. And I hated that theme.
Yeah.
By the time I get to this one, I was like, as soon as I hear it,
but
like
every,
it's already.
They've relentlessly beat that theme into our heads to the point now where it's like, it's a good theme.
But this one, too, this one isn't just pulling straight themes. This is incorporating stuff from all the movies.
Oh, yeah.
And Silvestri punches up each emotional beat with his scores. Like, oh, my God. Every time you hear the music playing, which is perfect for that moment.
You know, I didn't know he did the Back to the Future theme.
Yeah, he's Back to the Future.
I thought that was John Williams. No.
See, that's the one where everyone just presumes because it's Spielberg.
Yeah.
So it's a great scene where you can't see the person on the other side of the door. So it could be his ex-wife.
Wife, yeah.
It could be. And then this woman comes to the door and she's freaking out. And Scott doesn't recognize her until she says, like, obviously he knows who she is, but she's not the 11-year-old that he left behind. And they have this wonderful embrace and then we go back to the Avengers
Tower. So this leads us up to, so Scott is like, hey, remember me from the airport? Great.
Yeah, I was a lot bigger then.
Is this an old recording?
Like, no, this is the front gate.
So Scott comes in and this is where when they introduce Scott Lang, this is where the tone of the movie changes.
Yeah.
Like
we're almost out of
levity.
Yeah. So like he breaks the levity. And then when we get to Thor, it changes. It gets even lighter, which I was shocked at how lighthearted it got.
Yeah.
Given what
I was
kind of
glad
through.
Though, because I was like, at a certain point, I was like, this has been so an hour and it's just like, oh my God, this is.
Yeah. We're gonna,
I don't know. Is this a whole movie going to be like this? Cause this is rough.
When I was talking about this yesterday, some people were having trouble online with Thor and how they treat the character. And then, you know, there's Ruffalo being real goofy, but guess what? Without them, this is Justice League.
Oof.
Like you have,
I don't
that,
disagree.
That levity is what makes this movie. And,
you need it.
And there are people online. Thor is my favorite part and blah, blah. Like people loved the comedy because you don't want to sit through 3 hours of mope.
No,
right.
Until the end.
But they were able to balance it.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It's also like they didn't just like introduce these characters like they're like they just threw them and they're like way off of the tone of the rest of the movie.
Right.
They sort of like also sort of buoy.
They fit them in.
And,
well, that's,
and bring up the other characters a little bit.
In a lot of ways, this movie is a template on how to grieve.
Yeah.
In a healthy manner.
Yeah.
Like, we were sad, but we still,
sure.
We're still, you're telling stories, you're laughing, like, you know, like, not at the fact that she's dead, but that, you know what I mean? And like this movie, if you zoom out, this movie does all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the midst of this great tragedy, there are still moments of humor and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that doesn't undermine the fact that people are gone and that's awful.
It's interesting that, when we talk about the Thor character, in Thor 1, he's goofy, but he's also a badass. You know, like when he comes to Earth for the first time, it's a goof fest. But then he becomes Thor again.
Mm-hmm.
In Thor 2, he is the Shakespearean Asgardian god of thunder. Like he doesn't really have that. Thor 2 is a mess on itself.
Which they kind of make fun of.
They do, which I appreciate.
It's a mess, but it's kind of essential to this.
It is. It's very essential to this.
And honestly, and I've said this before, it's like, that might be the worst Marvel movie, but it's better than most DC movies. Yeah.
Without question. And then in Thor 3, well, I guess even in the Avengers 2, and Thor 3, he kind of turns up the charm because they realize, oh, he's naturally funny.
Yeah,
this is Ragnarok.
We get both. Well, in the beginning, we get that angry Thor. Oh. When we see the very beginning. Yeah, but once we come back, it's Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's for the rest. I mean, he's
until the end.
Yeah. So this is where Ant-Man explains about the Pym particles and the quantum realm and how time moves. And so they say, we got to go talk to somebody who can invent this time machine.
That's right.
So they go, and this is when you talk about like characters like Thor and Ant-Man, who, yes, they provide humor, but look at Scott Lang and him yelling at Tony Stark and saying, are you going to do nothing?
Yeah.
Or you're not even going to? And he's like, no, Scott, I'm not even.
Yeah.
You know,
it's,
I mean,
it's
so
intense. Well, that's the thing is like Tony's priorities have shifted now. Like he's built
a new life.
Yeah.
He's moved on.
People are just like, we have the line that Cap says where he's like, we have a second chance. He's like, yeah, I got mine.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
So he's married to Pepper. Yeah. He's got a kid.
Yeah. She's,
it was funny because, like, I rewatching Civil War, I was like, yeah, you know, I get both sides, but I definitely side with Cap.
Yeah.
And this one, I'm like, kind of leaning towards Tony on this one, but yeah, I have a daughter who's about the same age.
Yeah,
if you
have a daughter or a son or any kid, you're gonna look at that differently if you don't.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
because, absolutely.
You would know that, like, okay, messing with time, I might lose what I have, and that's why eventually when we do get that point, he says, you know, we can't change things.
We can bring everybody back, but we can't change.
Here.
Right.
Not five years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's great. But for me,
I was like, okay, good.
Yeah. I was like, please don't
sacrifice
the little girl.
That's too much of that level of sacrifice where he was basically, because I was like, oh my God, is he going to sacrifice his like future life to go back in time? And I was like, oh, don't do that. That's gonna suck.
It's Close Encounters.
Yeah.
Like Close Encounters. I mean, Spielberg said that the ending of Close Encounters, he's like, if I had had kids at that point, Dreyfus would have never got on the ship.
Oh my God.
He's like, because when you watch it as a parent, you're like, what the hell is wrong with
you?
Why are you getting on that ship? You're more curious about aliens than you are about raising your children.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's.
But here Tony says, you want to make a time machine? And Rudd's like, oh, it's like a time heist.
Yeah.
And then he says, you're basing this whole plan on Back to the Future.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
I love the rules. No sports betting.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, wait. Are you saying this entire plan is predicated on Back to the Future?
And he's that would be ridiculous. But so
you're right; it's Back to the Future too. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought he was going to say because it was. Right. But Tony,
I thought of it as the last episode of Seinfeld.
It is kind of
where all the memorable characters get to come back and have their moment to shine. Right. Yeah.
So Tony basically says, "No, I've got my second chance here. I've got my family." And so they say, "All right, we just need to find a bigger brain."
And Cap even says, "He's like, I get it."
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy for you.
They're both right.
I understand.
One wants to save. They want to save everybody. Tony doesn't want to lose. Neither's wrong, but you get their priorities.
And I do like that they hint that their relationship is better, but it's still a little strained. Like, they're not where they were 10 years ago.
Sure.
But they're not where they were when Tony first came back.
Tony says, I'm honestly happy to see you guys. So it's been 5 years. You know, they're dealing with things.
Right. Just don't talk shop.
Yeah.
Just don't talk shop.
So now we get dabbing Hulk. We get him. He's now...
Does anybody own Hulk, professor. Incredible Hulk number 377?
Which one's that?
That's the first time he's the smart Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Because that is skyrocketing
right now. Yeah, I bet.
So basically he has figured out a way with his, you know, because in the last movie it was all about his struggle. Banner and Hulk were fighting, and so he finally figured out, instead of fighting one another, work together.
Yeah. Honestly, this was one of my nitpicks of the movie.
What's that?
Is the professor. You didn't really get the Hulk in this movie.
Yeah.
And after missing him out in Infinity War and wanting to see the Hulk really unleash himself again, you don't get that payoff.
He doesn't save the world.
He tried very hard.
Yeah. I mean, he does, but it's not in the manner that you're wanting.
He doesn't Hulk.
And once again, I said it's a nitpick.
Sure.
But it is one of my few little gripes.
I'm actually in complete agreement. I wanted to see him smash something.
Yeah. But
it was funny when
But the thing is too, the way that they're writing and the direction they took the story, only smart Hulk would have made that decision.
Sure.
Big Hulk wouldn't have been like, ah. Let me just snap my finger. You know what I mean? Like, he just...
We do kind of get Hulk smash. Like, we get the Hulk from Avengers 1.
Right,
so we kind of get that in a sense. But I do agree that, like, as much as I thought we were going to get this version coming off of Thor Ragnarok and getting like Gladiator Hulk, I was like, well, it's only a natural progression that we're going to get to Smart Hulk.
Yeah.
But I do agree that
But he
I
had to
I
have logic to make these decisions. For sure. Like for this story,
they needed a bigger brain.
Yeah. They needed a bigger brain. And
so,
they got one.
So this part, I mean, this is basically just goofy. They're testing time travel. They're, you know,
it's not working.
Scott's turning into a, this is pee break number one. If you need to pee, you pee here. When he's turning
Which
into a baby.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he turns into a baby, an old man. I thought we were going to get the Stan Lee cameo when he was old, but we get that a little later.
Right.
But they basically figure it out. They,
I do like where just like somebody peed in my suit. I don't know if it was old me or baby me.
Or just me. So then Tony Stark pulls up, and I love this. He comes racing, and he goes, he turned into a baby.
He's like, yes, he did.
Among other things. Right. And Tony Stark, and we skipped over it, but that's fine. But he had figured out the formula. He's running in. He's like, oh, I'm just testing this out. He
I figures tell
out.
You, man, Eureka moment. That scene with him and the kid where he like sits back in the chair where he's just like, and then you see Morgan.
Literally, they. I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah, you see Morgan, and then Morgan repeats it, and he was like, "Well, no, that's your mom's word. Like, she, that's I got nothing to do with it." But like, he is so naturally charismatic and so, so good that there was a moment at this point where I was like, "Well, I know what's going to happen at the end of this."
Well,
movie.
And this is another like, Paltrow moment talking about like what Tom was saying. I mean, he talks to her and he says, "I figured it out, but I should probably lock it up, throw it to the bottom of the sea." And she goes, "But and go to bed." But then she goes, "But would you be able to rest?"
That's it's a great testament to their relationship. Like they have built this relationship since 2000. You know,
she knows.
She
who
knows.
He is.
Yeah,
she knows. He's not going to stop. Like he can say that he's going to stop, but she knows.
And she doesn't try to fight it, which is what makes.
Yeah,
you can't
but
change
like,
him. You
but
have to
the,
love
but
him.
But the Pepper from Iron Man 1 would have tried
of course,
to stop him.
Yeah. They've all
where
grown.
This Pepper is just like, we got lucky here. Yeah. Others didn't.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you got
to
do.
That Tony from Iron Man also wouldn't have done this, but he's Tony now.
Oh,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Like
yeah,
he
yeah.
starts to be that Tony when he's mad and everything, but then, you know, he's who. So that's happened. So he pulls up. He says, I know how to do this. You push time through Scott, you know, which is dangerous.
Right.
And so that's where now we have the answer. Hulk knows how to de-age people. So keep that in your back pocket.
Right.
But not saying they will, but it's there.
We'll see.
They set it up, right?
They set it up. Yes.
So
well,
now
I think if you want your next Captain America movie, it's just
him
putting the stones back.
Yep.
That's pretty fun. Yeah.
That's
that could be really fun.
You know, and just make it a fun adventure movie.
There's a lot of stuff
questions
that could go with
that. What,
yeah.
Like his going to Red Skull, like that alone I'd pay for.
Yep. And that's the thing is like
And it buys you time of trying to figure out what you're really going to do with them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so you get a whole nother film cycle of just him putting the stones back. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you also have the Disney Plus series with Sam and and
Bucky.
Winter Soldier and Bucky to kind of fill
figure
in the
that
gaps
out
too,
as
to,
well
to grow that character. So when that's done,
there's your movie with a new Cap. Yeah.
Right.
So now we get to the test. So right before we get, this is hour one's almost done, and Ant-Man's going to do the test. He accidentally uses one of the two test particles he has, and then Clint's like, "I'll do it."
Well, Nat goes and
he's
finds
a badass.
Him. Yeah, he is a badass. Nat goes and finds him in Tokyo, where he's destroying
which,
a Yakuza.
By the way, it's really great how they've grown this character too, because he could easily have been a throwaway. And
He
ends up becoming such an essential part of the movie, and he becomes. He was one of my favorite characters in the movie.
In this one,
They tried to like correct a lot of that in Age of Ultron. I know Whedon did, and I said this to somebody. I was like, you know, it's kind of tough to watch Ultron, Age of Ultron, and then like watch like Civil War or even Infinity War because the Whedon-esque sort of like sitcom-y things seem to like they just don't feel like they just don't resonate
it's
the same way.
Avengers 1 is a completely different movie, and Avengers 2.
They're both. I mean, they're enjoyable, but they do not like. And I'm sorry, but I cannot. Every time the hey big guy. Sun's getting really low. Every time. I'm glad they made fun of it in Ragnarok. Every time I was like, oh, God, please let's breeze past that relationship.
I will take Infinity War and Endgame any day over the first two Avengers. These are much better films. They just are.
I think
But Hawkeye is a character like they started to like, I mean, they set the groundwork for the whole family thing. So, but they definitely got him to a place where it's like, he's a good character.
It's just good because like he's such an essential part of the Avengers throughout their history in the comics.
Yeah.
And it's great that they're giving him his due in the movie.
And I'm forgetting with good aim.
Yeah, very good aim.
Yep.
So Natasha finds Ronan. He's killing people. He has a really badass moment. And she says, you don't belong here. She brings him back.
Well, I do like the line where he kind of says, he's like, we have an idea. And he was like, don't you dare. Like, don't you dare give me hope. Yeah. And she was like, I'm sorry I couldn't give it to you sooner. Yeah. And then he was like, fine, it's all good. I'll go. And now he's got his sweet haircut and a sweet tattoo sleeve.
So he does a test, and he ends up going back to the farm, and he hears his family talking.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets through the door and picks up a baseball glove, he's like, he disappears.
He's zapped back.
And his daughter
He also does exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Don't interact with
it. It's like screaming her name. It's like, okay, don't interfere.
Which is 100% understandable.
Absolutely. I mean, he does exactly what anybody would do.
Exactly. These characters are so relatable is the other thing. Even though some of these have superpowers and they're fighting aliens, they make such human characters out of them, which is what makes these so great.
Hear that, DC?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird how that works out so much better when you have human characters?
And he had the glove, which I was like, obviously he had the glove, but I was like, he's got the glove.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, Of course he solved it or something. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, look.
Now that universe doesn't have a glove. And they're like, where's my glove? Someone stole it. They call the cops. It starts a whole other time.
It's a whole other time.
It explains our socks.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. People just come back stealing our socks.
Jerks.
Hey, everyone. This is Kevin. I hope you're enjoying our review of Avengers Endgame so far. We're going to cut this in half right now, but have no fear. The other half's coming right up, but it is a long episode, as you all anticipated, and so this is a good stopping point, and we'll finish with the other half in the part two. So go find that, and we will talk to you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.